something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
You'll never guess who has his own podcast.
We play a new game called Nobia or Phobia.
And the return of Bonnie. Ew. It's all coming up right now on TNT. Bumblebee. Bumblebee. Double-decker bus.
We're rolling.
Yeah, give me a second, yeah? She sells seashells by the seashore. Vocal warm-up. Vocal warm-up. Bumblebee.
Live.
Okay.
We're on.
Here we go. Yeah, yeah. Don't rush me, yeah?
It's on, though.
Hello, and welcome to the first ever Donovan podcast, sponsored by Quality Street Candy and The Queen. I am recording today at The Queen's residence, Balmoral, which she has graciously allowed me to use. I have been told by people ranging from Vidal Sassoon to Samuel Jackson that I should have a podcast to tell stories of my life. What I've done for this first episode, yeah, is I've brought in a guest who I'm proud to say I gave a start to. His name is Randy Buckman, which many of you will recognize as being, first of all, someone who owes me, frankly, for his career, and second of all, someone who has created some of the most memorable songs. It's safe to say in Canada, not sure that his work has traveled far. Randy Buckman joins me today.
Randy, hey Donovan, how are you?
Great, yeah.
So nice to see you.
It is, yeah.
Thanks for flying me in.
Well, I understand you didn't have the money for your own ticket.
No, that's not it at all. You asked me to come on the show, and I obviously didn't want to pay a flight from Utah to London, so.
Well, when you begged me
first class,
to be the guest on my first podcast.
Your first class.
I had to... Well, it's funny because we're doing a podcast and I booked you in the little pod at the front of a
yep,
plane.
You did.
You booked me.
You booked me. That's why you you paid for the flight.
Well, when you begged me to be on it, I had to call LT and say, stand down, love. I'm doing a favor, again, for Randy Buckman, yeah? Who has taken the time from his ever-so-busy life these days, doing what? Not sure exactly. In any event...
Can I talk? Or am I a guest, or is this just listen to Donovan podcast?
Yeah, well, it's the first episode, yeah? So... working out the jitters, and
okay.
You'll know when it's your turn to talk.
When I first met Randy Buckman, he wore
a younger man's clothes. Safe to say they were smaller around the middle. But also,
listen,
Randy had a twinkle in his eye.
Come on, Donovan.
Just a moment, please. Still working on the intro.
I can walk out right now. I mean,
Randy Buckman.
You asked me to do this.
I met him when he was Randy Buck Boy. Tiny.
All right.
Dream-filled would-be guitar player from, is it Winnipeg?
I get your deal. Can you tell a few stories? I have a podcast.
Let me start here, because this is the question
show.
That people really want to know.
You don't have a show on the BBC. I have a show on the CBC.
Burton like?
He's a pain in the ass. You really want to know it? That's the truth right there. It's a pain in my ass. It's been a pain in my ass since 1962.
So he's fun, yeah?
No, he's not fun. He's not fun at all. He's a pain in my ass. You understand?
When I discovered you, had you met Burton?
I'm pretty sure that kind of didn't happen that way. Seeing as though I was at a party and John Lennon was there. And I remember I was talking to John Lennon because we're close friends. And
I introduced you, yeah.
One second, I was talking to him, and you were actually trying to get into the VIP where we were in Savile Row. There was a party there at one of the suit shops.
A gentleman's haberdashery.
Yeah, anyway, you were trying to get where we were.
Yeah, and John
I was and just
I
trying to give
pranks.
Him a little piece of information. I said to him, I said, you know, the love you make is equal to the love... You take.
Hang on. Someone.
That's what I said to him. Anyway, you interrupted. You're like, hey, because you said you knew Rod Stewart or something, which I don't even believe. Now, what do you got to say?
Randy Bachman, you're a guest of the Queen and of me. And you'll sit in this chair, look me in the eye.
This is a nice place, I gotta say.
The Queen does not skimp on accommodation, yeah?
No, she doesn't.
Randy Bachman, let me tell you how I remember that evening. I was talking to John, which is what I called John Lennon for short. And from what I can remember, you were eavesdropping as we were discussing the idea of a song about watching wheels. Because
no,
I was telling
no.
him that I'd been sitting in the front room of my cottage just that day. With a thatched roof, eating Quality Street, sponsor of this Doncast, and I saw wheels going by, and we were talking about how that sounded like the foundation for a song, and then I heard a noise that, to my ear, sounded like sandpaper, and I turned around, it was you.
Well, that's kind of funny, because I remember it quite different. I remember you were up behind the line, and you tried to get over, and I said, hey, get back. Get back. Get back
oh,
from
come on.
Where you once belong, you piece of crap. And then John was laughing so hard. And, you know, obviously, he probably took that to heart. But just realize you're part of history there, at least.
Here's how I can prove that you are full of feces. F-A-E-C-E-S. Faces. That's because...
You mean the small faces, which I was in for a minute? Or...
Before you hijack my story, let me finish.
Okay.
I know that's not true, the get back, because in the song it's Get Back JoJo, my nickname in those days, with the Stones, LT, Clapton, the Queen, the Beatles, Sting... was always Dodo, and some people called me the Dodo Bird because I was very mother bird like, and all of the bands like to kind of come in under my wing. So why isn't Get Back then Get Back Dodo?
I don't know, but I remember one time I saw Jimi Hendrix push you out of his dressing room. How about that?
We would
remember that?
We were mucking about.
Yeah, mucking about.
He was
throwing you out.
He was taking the piss.
Yeah, taking the piss. All right. Remember you almost got your ass kicked by Peter Grant from Zeppelin when you were trying to
He
hang
was
out
taking
with him?
The piss, too.
Yeah, he almost took the cricket
Randy
back.
Randy Bachman, my ass. You have rewritten, as all good writers can, this revisionist history, which indeed is a captivating tale. But it's not, for even a moment, how it went down. What you don't recall, because of your selective Canadian memory, is that nobody liked you. You were not welcome to be around. It was like someone's dirndl-wearing child was trying to be at the grown-ups' party.
You know... I remember when I was with Paul Simon and he was actually asking me to be in his new duo. He said...
Simon and Bachman. Really?
He said, yeah. And which actually rolls off the tongue better than Simon and Garfunkel. I mean, that sounds old time, you know?
Do you know what we called you?
You should have heard me when I was doing the backups on Sounds of Silence.
Well, let me hear you do the Sound of Silence right now while I tell you what our nickname was for you. We called you Bambi. Bambi Bachman, because you were such a new little doe trying to stand on your own brand new musical legs, falling over a laughingstock, yeah?
Whisper the sounds of silence.
I think I still have an emergency telegram that was sent to me that says, Dodo, please don't bring Bambi Bachman to Balmoral ever again. Signed, The Queen.
Then why am I here right now?
Good question.
Because she heard you talking about me?
You know what, Bambi? I'm going to give you the opportunity to ask me a question, because listeners of the Doncast are more interested, frankly, in my career than in yours.
You know the Queen, eh?
Yeah, I know the Queen.
I got to tell. Can you tell her I was at the Tower of London there with my kids? And,
Let me finish. The Queen.
I snuck around the back.
And, stop putting your hat on.
They had the jewels there.
Stop eating Tic Tacs and listen to
jewels.
This. Randy Bachman,
hey,
was at the Tower of London with it. Why would the Queen want to hear what you were doing with your kids?
She
didn't even know your name.
I was just kind of messing around with the where the jewels were, and the thing tipped off, and I grabbed a couple of them. I have some of them in my house back home. Crown jewels. Just saying.
Are your eyes brown because you're so full of shit? Is that why?
I don't know what you're talking about, Donovan. How about that? You were talking about Elton John. I mean, remember who was in the Jets? It wasn't you, it was me. And it was supposed to be Bachman in the Jets, but it didn't roll off the tongue.
That doesn't even make sense.
You were on the session. You said, remember, we were all on Benny's. That's when we changed it to
Benny.
There
was no way. You were not there.
I was there. I was playing rhythm guitar. I was sitting right behind the piano. Because, you know, Alti always likes to watch my right hand to keep time.
You're the dodo. You're the dodo.
Remember that guitar solo on Reelin' in the Ears?
Yeah, of course.
That's me.
Is not.
Yeah, Elliot Randall was sick. And he said, well, I was like, well, your demo sounds good. I'll give you the credit, but I'll do this take.
I'd like to hear your Michael Jackson cover of Beat It and watch you leave.
Well, did you know that? That's actually not Eddie Van Halen. That's me on that track.
What on God's verdant earth
are
you talking
about? Eddie
Van
Halen was doing it, and Quincy Jones said, you know, he's just not cutting it. So I flew in. And I cut it, like, easy. I said, you want me to do that dwiddly-diddly stuff? I can do that.
How does the solo go, then? Let me hear you.
And I'm big enough to not care about it, either. Like, you can take credit. I make enough money from my anything. Take anything. Bachman-Turner Overdrive alone, I'm a multi-millionaire.
Bachman-Turner Overblown...
Hey, we had a good run in the...
When? Winnipeg?
No, and around the world. We were huge.
Oh, you're huge, all right.
Remember Mott the Hoople?
Of course I remember Mott the Hoople.
I said to them, hey, you guys should do something with Bowie.
You did nothing of the sort. It's as though you've been reading my diary.
He's got this great song, and I was like, they were like, what song? And it's like, well, we were hanging out, and I was like, we're the young dudes, Bowie. We're the young dudes. And he said, oh, the young dudes, I'm going to use that. And he
took
that.
Bachman. I found myself sitting back in this leather wingback chair owned by the Queen, watching a stream of faces pour out of your open mouth. None of it's true is the problem. It's entertaining, sure, it's captivating, yeah? But it's simply not true. Unlike the time that I was with the Pope, Frank Sinatra, Oprah Winfrey, and Gerard Depardieu. Apple A strange combination of people indeed, as I hear it come out of my mouth now. But it was at the rap party for Green Card. and we were awaiting Andie MacDowell's arrival because word on the street was that she was interested in me. And I was between ladies at the time, literally. I had a lady on my right and a lady on my left, I'll never forget. One was Elizabeth Taylor, and the other was Canadian songstress Mitsu. Who is more full of feces?
That's funny.
F-A-E-C-E-S.
It's funny you mention women. I mean, you know you've seen me with Naomi Campbell and Christy Turlington on my arms.
It's, Randy, when you look in the mirror, it can't feel very good to know that nothing that comes out of your mouth is factual or fact-based.
Maybe you're not. Maybe you're.
Maybe what?
Maybe you're not aware that Calvin Klein did a lot of his scouting coming to my flat.
Really?
See the girlfriend.
So with Marky Mark, the underwear catalog.
Yes,
that was
he just said the women that I dated, I just his my choice in women. I mean, he just said they'll sell magazines. There's something about the women you pick. And same Karl Lagerfeld as well.
That must have been around the time that Cindy Crawford was in love with me. And I said, it's not me, it's you, first of all, so I can't do this. And second of all, I was offered a Pepsi commercial in jean shorts. And I said, Cindy, why don't you do the Pepsi commercial, yeah?
Well, what have you done for the world? I mean, do you remember that movie, The Mosquito Coast? That's about me. It was a trip that I went on with when I quit the Guess Who at the Fillmore, and I'd had it with Burton. I went to the Mosquito Coast, and I developed this. It was basically the cure for cancer, and it just didn't come out as I wanted it, but I mean, it ended up making some money on the movie, at least, you know.
Randy, I have to confess, I haven't really heard a word you've said the entire time, because I've been so captivated by the stream of faces pouring out of your mouth. Let me ask one question as we wrap up here.
Keep mentioning the faces. I was in the
more
face.
Than the Guess Who, and I really want you to sit down and marinate in this question and try to give it some thought. Guess why? Guess why you were so popular?
I don't know. Take a song like Laughing, for example. I mean, that guitar part.
Wrong. Me.
What?
The dodo bird. Donovan. In a word, Donovan. In two words, dodo bird. Me. That's why. The guess why you were so popular? Your association with me.
No.
My association with the Queen. It's
because
it spilled
I was such,
over.
So well-rounded. I mean, who else was a musician of my level but was also a US Open tennis qualifier?
Should have stuck with LT. Oh, that's right. Bjorn Borg was like, oh, as long as I don't have to play Randy Bachman on the clay court.
I couldn't commit to the tour.
Boris Bachman over here.
I beat Bjorn Borg.
I could see maybe if you had penis elbow.
I don't
from
know what that
wanking
means, but,
John so much.
John McEnroe, I was playing him one time, and I said, "Why are you so nice? I mean, you should be a little more aggressive and tell people what you think."
The only thing I could see you playing with John McEnroe is the penny slots. Randy Bachman has been my guest on this first episode of The Dawncast. I'm your host, Dodo Bird. Where are you going, Randy?
I'm leaving.
Well, not before I tell you to go. Go on, then.
How do you get out of this place?
You have to page the Queen.
What's with the cement? Ah!
That was Randy Bachman, my guest on The Dawncast. Until next time, when my guest will be Archbishop Desmond Tutu.
Crunch, 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 crunch. Thanks a lot, baby. Get out of here. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Crunch, 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 crunch.
Yellow.
Phobia or nobia?
Love it.
Here's how it works.
We take turns saying the name of a phobia. First of all, you have to guess what the phobia is or would be. And second of all, you have to guess whether it's real or fake.
Yeah.
Phobia or nobia.
Okay.
I'll go first. There's some weird ones.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah. You want me to? You're going to go first?
I'm going to go first.
Okay, go for it.
Globophobia.
Global phobia.
Globo. Globophobia. Oh, globophobia.
Globophobia.
Yeah, like if you were on Wheel of Fortune and you bought an O, there would be three.
Yeah.
Globophobia.
Wow, globophobia. Fear of globes?
Do you know what's funny? Is when you said fear of, I got really excited, like, wow, yeah? But they're all fear of something.
Yeah, exactly.
Close, fear of balloons.
Fear of balloons, wow.
Yeah.
Is that
real or fake? Phobia or nobia?
That's got to be real.
That's real.
Especially
globophobia is a thing.
It movie's scary enough. I saw that It movie.
Did you see it?
Yeah, imagine being afraid of balloons and clowns. You might just have one kick up in the theater in the seat there. From
I wonder if, and I'm sure this information is widely available, I wonder if phobias are usually born out of some event in your life or if you can legit just be born with them.
I think they kind of come, they develop sometimes from early.
For example, I've told you about my fear of mice, right?
Oh, is it hardcore?
It's hardcore because when my mom was in grade 3, she went to school with a dress with a rope belt.
That's right, and it went
and
around.
A kid put a mouse down her back and it ran laps around her waist. So I inherited this fear of mice. I know, I was talking about this with my friend yesterday. I know rationally and intellectually that mice can't hurt me, but if I see one, I get beads of sweat on my forehead. Like, it's so deeply ingrained in me.
So when you're in the barn and you see one run by, like, you're just like...
Haven't seen one.
Oh, you haven't?
Nope. At our old house, I saw one in the barn once.
And?
But sometimes if I'm mowing the pasture, for example, and I see one jump ahead
you'll
of like, me, because we live in a field. Like,
he'll jump off the mower and run in the house?
I will do a 180 in the mower and drive it back to the barn on the straightest possible line, wide open.
I thought you would run back.
No, I wouldn't want to put my feet down where the grass is. Oh. This our little John Deere has a tortoise and a hare speed.
Oh, that's right.
I fire
right,
it up to hare and drive straight
you
back.
Like, get me the fuck out of here.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Heart pounding, beads of sweat on my forehead. And I get it. I get how irrational it is. I'm not afraid of spiders in that way. I'm not afraid of dogs running at me in that way. But like I say, I've inherited this, so it's deeply ingrained in me because I grew up in a house where they were the devil.
Yeah.
So can you be that afraid of mice, for example, just because?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm sure
Do you have any phobias?
Do I? I don't think so. I think I was like I was creeped out if I saw spiders, but I've got seen them so much, and now that I live on the water, they don't really scare me at all.
Right.
I actually don't kill them now because I know how helpful they are for
Henry. Pipe down, bud.
I love it.
So, were you afraid of them to the point where you would not go in a certain room or alter your behavior or use a different door because you knew there was one there?
Maybe. I'm not sure, but maybe. If it was a big one, I would probably split. I definitely wouldn't try and kill it.
Like, I could go on Fear Factor because I could, like, do the zip line, jump out of a thing, put my face in an oven, like, all that stuff. But I could not lie in a rat tank.
No.
Why like, if would it came you? Down to that, I'd just say...
I saw a rat run up just about 2 blocks from my house. A rat the size of a cat. It was the biggest rat I've seen, except for movies or like New York.
Was it during the day?
It was just around 7 or 8 at night, so it's getting dark, so maybe 8 to 9. Probably dark, 8 o'clock.
Because my friends, Jessica and Courtney, who I think I've told you about before, they are exterminators, and they're taking over their dad's pest control business. I actually did a TV pilot with them a few years ago because I thought it was such a great idea for a show. These young blonde gals showing up to chase the rats out from your basement. But they said if you see a rat or a mouse during the day, it's probably ingested some poison and it's probably on the way out, but it might be a little skittish and unpredictable because it might be going out of its mind.
Yeah.
Good to know.
And at night?
Well, they also said they've developed a genetic resistance to warfarin, so, like, the usual poison doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Anyway, I imagine a mouse crawling in my mouth and having babies in the night. Like, I'm that level afraid of it.
Ugh. Anyway, that It movie was good, and it's a good one for the Halloweenies, for the people who want to spook.
So did you, like, jump out of your seat?
I don't really get that freaked out. But there was a couple, and the only reason was because one time the person beside me was reaching over, and I thought, like, for some reason they were reaching over at me, and then the jump scare happened, so I jumped, because I was like, why is this person doing that? But they were, like, trying to get candy that was, like, down the other person's, like, side of their chair.
So didn't take the kids, did you, or you did?
No, fuck no, that's just restricted, hardcore, creepy.
Right, terrible.
The thing starts off with a kid getting his arm bit chewed off.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, were you jumpy when you left?
Not really, because it's pretty long. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes. But, anyway.
As a total aside, guess what just happened in my life?
What?
Guess what just happened in my life?
What just happened in your life, Bob?
Carol arrived home with some salt and Vinnies that are Ruffles.
Ooh.
Didn't even know they existed.
There's Ruffles, salt, and Vinnies?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've
seen
them.
I guess it's Chippy night in the Torrens house.
Yeah, there you go, Chippies.
Do you ever chant Chippies?
No.
Chippies. Or is that just our house?
No, that's not, yeah, no.
Okay, hit me with a phobia, bot.
Lisa gets mad if I celebrate food in that manner.
Why?
She's like, it's food. If you keep saying it's fun and all that, then the kids will associate it with fun. And then next thing you know, they're 100 pounds overweight. No, I'm saying that's the slope of, like,
I get it,
associating fun with eating, but whatever.
I know,
that's why I say we're partying and it's like all of a sudden there's candy and soda
and chips everywhere.
So,
but that's what I've always wondered, because if from the get-go, like with Henry, carrots are a treat.
Yeah.
So can you do that with your kids? Can you, like, good news, it's vegetable party. Our kids like, nice try. Let's go through.
Yeah, no, I mean at our point, that our kids are too old for that shit now.
Right? Do you have Chippies in the house?
Hell yeah, they're around.
What kind?
Well, John likes straight up regular guy.
Yeah.
And Jack doesn't mind. There's always some salt and Vinnies around, maybe some all dressies, some dill pickles around, perhaps.
Whoa.
Right?
How often do you party with Chippies?
Maybe once every 2 weeks I try to stay away from those fucking things.
And are you a whole bagsman?
No.
Like if you open the bag, you gotta pound it?
Like no problem. Like
Chippies.
Playing the ColecoVision, crushing a bag of chips.
Wow. I've been on the Unskinny Pop hard lately.
Oh, the Skinny Pops?
Yeah, because you can get a two-banger at Sobeys for $7.
And you just crush it all?
By the way...
Watching The Bachelor?
Yeah. Bachelor in Paradise, crush some on Skinny Pop. Here's the thing. This is the difference between Sobeys and Superstore. Sobeys will have two bags of Unskinny Pop for $7. But if you just buy one, it's $3.50. So you don't have to buy two to get that price. One is half the price of two. But at Superstore, if they say two for such and such, two for $7, if you just buy one, it might be $4 or it might be $5.
Yeah. Hey, you ready for my next phobia?
Could you try to act a tiny bit more interested in my Sobeys Superstore story?
Well, I'm looking at this list of great names.
Yeah.
How about this one? Bachelophobia.
Bachelophobia.
Yeah.
Spelling, please.
B-A-C-H.
Bachelophobia.
O.
L-O-phobia.
L-O-F or P-H-O-B-I-A.
Back. B-A-C-H. What does that mean? Like, what root is that from? Okay, well, is it fear of being single?
Nah.
What is it?
It's fear of the bachelor.
No, it's not. Bachelor. You made that up.
Yeah, it's made up.
Okay.
That's why I was spelling it, and I was like...
Bachelophobia.
Bachelophobia.
Okay, you ready? Paptophobia. Huh? Paptophobia.
Tacto?
Papto. P-A-P-T-O. Paptophobia.
Fear of tap dancing?
No, it's fear of paper towel.
That's real.
That is fake.
Shit.
No such thing as paptophobia.
I fear it'd be like if you saw Gregory Hines coming, you'd run away.
Taptophobia?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you couldn't sit through White Nights.
Or Tommy Tune. All right, hit me. Okay, ready?
Yes.
Aquinophobia.
What?
Aquinophobia.
A or E?
E.
Fear of horses.
You got it.
Kaboom, and that's a real one.
It is real. You've seen Kay. People with that. I'm sure.
Dinophobia.
A lot of people have that because they're so big.
Fair enough.
What'd you say?
Gynophobia.
Gynophobia, geez.
G-Y-N-O.
Fear of gynecologists? I don't even want to guess.
I think if you asked most women, they would probably say they have a fear of that.
Yeah, what's the answer?
It's actually fear of women.
It is.
Oh. Yeah, real or fake?
Jeez. You ready for this one?
Real or fake, gynophobia?
Real.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah. Okay.
Hit me.
Nadentophobia.
Spelling, please.
N-A-D-E-N-T-I-P-H-O-B-I-A.
Nadentophobia.
B-I-A.
Nadentophobia.
Nadentophobia.
Fear of dentures?
Close. Fear of brushing your teeth.
Really?
Yeah, nadentophobia. Like.
And I'm going to say that's true.
No, that's bullshit.
Aww.
Like nadent, no denting, no denties.
No denties.
Nadent.
You should trust your gut. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Pogonophobia.
Pogo?
Pogonophobia.
Pogo?
Yeah. Pogo? No. Phobia?
Pogonophobia. Is that a fear of pogo sticks?
It sounds like it would be. It's actually a fear of beards.
Oh, wow.
Pogonophobia.
So it's like you bring home the crazy beard guy to your father and he's a pogonophobic?
And he's like, ah!
Falls
Dad,
down.
This is, ah!
Like, what happens? Do they just, they got to get the fuck out of Dodge?
I don't know.
Do they just pretend, start swinging and punching them or what?
Pretend for a moment you were a pogonophobic, for real, and pretend you saw a beard. What actual noise would you make if you were startled with gusts up to scared? What is your actual noise? For real.
If you had it and some crazy beard guy just showed up?
Yeah. Like, what do you sound like when you're scared? Do it.
Nyah!
Really?
I don't know. I'm just picturing it in my head.
Ah! I think my mind
think
goes
it would
up
be more
and will
like
not surprise you.
More physical than audio, I think, would come out of me.
Ah!
I think I'd just be, like, turning around.
Okay, say to me, hey, look, there's a mouse. Here's the noise that I would make.
Okay. Hey, Jonathan.
Yeah?
Don't look now, but over there, there's a mouse.
Wow!
Yeah? And you jump up in the air and leave?
Like broom handle on the kitchen table.
You ready for this one?
Yeah, hit me.
Ranidophobia.
Spelling, please.
R-A-N-I-D-A phobia.
Ranidophobia. Ranny. Ranied. Ranied. Ranida.
You're just breaking down the Latin, are you?
Yeah. Okay. Fear of running.
No. That would be funny, though. It's fear of frogs.
I'm gonna say that's a real phobia, but that is not what it's called. You made that up.
No, that's a real one.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if I could make that one up.
Okay, try this one. Coaster phobia.
Seriously? Coasters? Fear of coasters?
What kind of coasters? Be more specific,
like drink
please.
Coasters?
Nope.
Roller coasters?
What?
Roller coasters?
Yes. Fear of roller coasters. True or false?
I could see people being afraid of drink coasters more, like some crazy OCD. What the fuck is that doing on the table?
Glad you could come over, Janice.
Holy
here's a drink for
shit.
You. Just careful you don't get it stained on the coffee.
It's like a couple that met online because they both have a fear of drink coasters.
Drink coasters. Coaster phobia, fear of roller coasters. True or false?
True, because people...
True.
I don't go on roller coasters.
It's the most on-the-nose phobia, but it's true.
I guess you could say I have a fear of heights in a way. Like, I'm not afraid of being on a building or looking down, but, like, if I look over, my stomach starts going, and I can't do, like, that, you know, drop zip line stuff where you have to go down a cliff upside down or... You know what I mean? Well, they lower you down and shit. Like, forget it.
Suge and I were at the fair this summer, and we went on, I would have called it the paratrooper. You know, that one, it's sort of like a Ferris wheel, but it's sort of on a 45-degree angle, and it goes frontwards and backwards.
Yeah.
And it's pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love that. And I had to close my eyes, and my stomach was not feeling it.
No.
But is that something that happens as you get older, or is it because you're now aware of actual stakes, like things could go wrong?
I used to have dreams as a kid of falling a lot.
Huh.
Like nightmares of falling, never landing, but waking up a lot. And I don't know, I was okay with roller coasters and stuff, but it just kind of happened a little bit over time. That I was like, I'm not really cool with this being up so high. Like, you know those ones where they shoot you up with a catapult one? Like, no fucking way
no
I'd go on that. Or, like, jumping off a cliff into water. Like, no dice. Not happening. I remember in Costa Rica with my wife, we went on one of those zip line things, and I wouldn't do like 90% of the stuff, and all the local guys are like making fun of me and calling me names and stuff because I wouldn't do it. I'm like, it's okay, boys, I understand, you can say whatever you want, I'm not doing it, there's no chance.
Well, I
chirp
think
me all day,
especially now with your kid. Like, I was, you know, I'm not prone to overreacting, or I'm not a helicopter parent or any of those things,
yeah.
But I was looking at the little opening that separates Suge from being 40 feet in the air and the ground, and it's not much. And I think the idea of that is what makes me queasy. Weird.
How about this
Whose
one?
Turn is it?
Is it mine or yours? I think it's yours.
Okay. Disposophobia.
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 Is that like the fear of garbage?
Kind of. It's a fear of getting rid of stuff.
Ooh.
Real or fake? Phobia or nobia?
Real. Phobia.
It's a phobia. Good call.
It's legit.
Well done, Jeremy.
Well done, Jeremy. There's a... Okay, how about this one? Apophobia.
Spelling, please.
Apophobia.
Is it a fear of flies like aphids?
Close.
Yeah?
Bees.
Really?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
How about this one? Ophidiophobia.
Videophobia?
Ophidiophobia.
Wow, that's fear of insects?
Fear of seeing snakes.
No.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good one.
You don't want to have ophidiophobia on a Saturday night.
I love that one.
Hey, let's do this. Let's take a break on TNT 118 and come back, and maybe we'll find out what Bonnie's afraid of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
Hang on, Jeremy.
Let me ask you this right quick. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Look who it is, yeah.
Hey, baby, how are ya?
I'm surprised you remembered where I lived, yeah.
It's me, Jack.
No need for a reintroduction. I know you were seeing snakes when you were here last time, yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, I just wanted to tell you that, I lost everything. I lost my job.
And I would care about this because...
The radio station doesn't take me anymore. They don't want nothing to do with me.
Ew.
I was just wondering if I could just sleep on your couch for a couple days.
Did you get an invitation to a pity party at this address? Ew.
Come on.
Well, come
Bond.
In or don't. You know, I don't care what you do, to be honest. Yeah.
We got something.
I mean, we had something. There's no denying it. I guess the thing that I had was the desire for you to get out of my house, you know.
Oh, come on, Bon. I got nowhere else to go.
Oh, we're on a first-syllable basis now, are we? Yeah. I forgot that my house was at the corner of Poor and You.
Well, I guess I'll just leave.
Well, I could use my bushwhacked.
Is that right? I could do that for you, but perhaps you need
I could use some yard work done.
Perhaps you need that that box over there, curb.
Okay, yeah. I could also use some seed planted.
How about the back 40 stretched?
Okay. I think we're talking about yard maintenance. Yeah.
Yeah, just want to rake up your leaves.
I could actually use my birdhouse reshaped because I have a blue jay named Jose.
Toss your salad.
Oh, you're gonna stay for dinner? Yeah, great. We could eat here, or we could eat out.
I've got a tart vinaigrette for you.
Yeah. If you could fix my birdhouse, yeah, that would be great, because I have a blue jay named Jose.
Hold on a second. Why is that?
I'm sorry?
Why would you have a birdhouse?
Oh, because I have a blue jay named Jose, yeah.
Well, where is it?
Well, if you stand outside on the porch here, he'll probably land on your head, yeah.
No. Listen. I'll just stand in here. You stay over there.
You're behaving even more strangely than usual.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm going to make myself a drink here.
Jet, do you have ornithophobia, the fear of birds?
Yeah, I do, Bonnie.
How could you be afraid of a beautiful little bird, you know?
Well, they're just full of bacteria, and they're scary, and they peck, and they just, they're just nasty fucking creatures.
But Jose and his family have been very good to me. Yeah, and I go to Bulk Bar, and I get nuts for them, and then...
Why are you pushing me out here? Why are you pushing me outside? Listen, I don't like being out here. Where is it?
Jed, I know you're going through a hard time, yeah, but you don't have to, show up here and give me a hard time either, you know?
Where's the birds?
Jet, it's on your head right now.
I'm back in here.
I feel so bad for Jet. He's really down on his luck.
He's down on his luck. He's got nowhere to go. And he's got... What is it again?
Ornithophobia.
Wow, that's a tough one to remember.
I was a guest on Major's Mess Hall podcast last night.
Oh, nice. The Buds.
Couple dudes are Buds. Scott from Chicago and Gavin, who lives here now. And boy, they asked such in-depth questions about TNT and about all the characters. And Wow. One of the questions was, which character do you like best? That was hard.
Yeah.
Because I started to say Bonnie because of the obvious real life reference point and how much affection I have for that person. But I think it's Andrea. I think deep down, Andrea is my ride or die.
That's the one?
Who's your favorite? Like, who's every time you get to play them, you're like, this is fun. I love this.
I don't know. I think Joe's fun.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Like, Joe and Gino is fun to me just because it's so ridiculous.
And so loud. And I know you vacillate between knowing it's funny, but also wanting to pay proper tribute to the dudes that you went to school with.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the thing about a character is you don't want them to be jerky or alienate people. You want them to be accurate and reference points from your real life. And I think that's the thing. Like I was saying to these guys last night, someone asked me around season 5 of Trailer Park if I felt sorry for J-Rock, and it had never occurred to me that you would. And I think it's the same thing with someone like Andrea. She's so relentlessly happy and optimistic.
No,
you don't feel sorry for her.
No, for sure. And all my, it's funny, my friend Joe Savaggio, who I grew up with in the, I went to Emory at Weston and Finch area. And he went, he lived at the Jane and Shepherd area. And him and Joe Iannuzzi, we were all buds. And they, a lot of like the stuff that they're culturally, their parents were, I think, both Calabres from Calabria. So they would have the tomatoes and the cured meats and the making their wine and just awesome people. So it's fun to have fun with the culture. But I mean, Toronto is probably one of the, maybe outside of New York, one of the biggest cultural centers for Italy, other than Italy, in the world. So
is that where the Lodge came from, those guys?
Yeah. Well, not just them, but all my friends in high school, for sure. They're like, oh, I got Lodge. I don't know, like that's what they would say if they had a stomach ache.
So how do you spell Lodge?
I don't even know. It's what they would say, Lodge. Lodge. So
I'd love to know what it means. I mean,
our Italian bods.
I guess it means heartburn.
Well, sometimes there's also centered slang in different areas, too. Like, there's slang in New York that's different than the slang in Toronto or St. Clair or even Woodbridge. It depends on where your parents were from, too.
Right.
So, yeah.
The Lodge. But if they heard you on here doing Joe and Joe saying he had the Lodge, they would only be flattered, wouldn't they?
Well, I was mentioning Joe because he said he thought it was classic. It reminded him of the old days, and he appreciated it for sure. And he's
nice.
He's actually says he enjoys the podcast. So shout out to Joe Savaggio for coming onto the TNT train.
Nice. An hey, Joe, welcome.
My first band. He was the guitar player.
Was that the REM cover band?
In Joe's Garage. No, this was before that even. Joe's Garage, we had a band jamming. Him and Rui on bass. Rui Resendez. And we had a good time.
What kind of band was it? What tunes
did we just did play? Old classic rock covers like Cream and Santana and Zeppelin. And it was fun.
Did you ever gig?
We did a couple shows, yeah. A couple like shows at those like Tuesday night. But all your friends come, so it's packed from school.
Did you ever play, like, a school dance?
We did some talent nights.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what we were called, but I was in a band that mostly did, like, Police and U2 songs, and we played a couple house parties. That was junior high.
I think there's video of me doing my first drum solo and Barry at the talent night there.
No way.
In grade 8. When I was 14, so it was like 3 weeks after I started playing.
Come on.
Yeah. My buddy Larry Coward had this big, huge drum set, and he had been playing for years at that point, so he was like my first drummer buddy.
Did you take to it that fast?
I did pretty quickly, yeah, because I'd been practicing on a pad, and my dad, obviously being a drummer, taught me a lot of the... I had a connection to it before I started playing with it.
Well, speaking of things that you can pick up by osmosis, I always ask this of singers, too. Do you think you can be born a singer or you have to train to become one? Do you think you had a head start because your dad was a drummer and you were around it, even though you'd never played?
I think if there's a string of it in your history, like the fact that my grandfather was a musician and great-great-grandfather led the Scottish Drum Corps in India. Like, that's how far back it goes for drummers. So there's a lot of... The bloodline has some inherent connection with rhythm for some reason. But everybody, if you have you can see singers that are 10 years old that sound like they're 30. You know, that's something that they're born with. That's not something you can develop at all. Singing is one of those things where it's, if you're lucky enough to have a voice that you're given, then you can go from there. But some people are just born with an incredible voice and perfect pitch, and singing is like only fun for them. You know, I'm sure that's what it's like for like Adele or Mariah Carey or, you know, those types of singers, that it's not even an issue with singing. It's just fun.
Well, have you...
Other than being hoarse and pain.
Have you seen Grace VanderWaal?
Grace VanderWaal.
She's like, she's maybe 14 now or something. I think she started on America's Got Talent, and the girls watch her. She has such a mature voice, it is shocking to watch her sing.
Is that the
some people are just like that.
Is that the little Asian girl?
No.
Because there's another one that on America's Got Talent that's like, she might be younger.
But she's tiny? Yeah, I saw her. Well, she was on last night doing the song from Moana, right?
I think so. She has a voice that's like huge, like way bigger than he sounds like. If she starts singing, you're like, okay, that woman's like at least 20 years old.
Yeah.
It's funny when you hear that kind of thing come out, when it's a true, just a gift.
But when you, did you start playing at 15?
14.
14, yeah. And you were in OLP by 17.
Yeah.
So you were still new to your instrument at that time.
Definitely,
That's crazy.
But I did practice a lot.
Instead of going to school?
Yeah, like skipping school and practicing for 12 hours.
And was Ronnie like, honestly, stay in school, kids?
No.
You do not want to be a drummer for a living, trust me.
He was so down with me playing baseball. The fact that I stopped playing baseball, he was so mad. He wasn't really concerned about the school part. He was just pissed that I stopped playing baseball.
Could he play baseball?
No, but he was the kind of... he used to help every day and practice every day.
Right.
So, yeah, I think because we put a lot of work into that and it was just gone, that bummed him out. He could give a shit about school at that point. Good times.
That was kind of your thing, you two, right?
What's that?
Baseball.
Yeah, no, that was like definitely the way that we connected.
Huh.
Other than that, it was a lot of heat and hot and anger.
Here is, by the way, this is a question that most interviewers ask me, and I'm sure they've asked you too, because we both got started in our professional careers at a young age. If you hadn't fallen into the OLP situation and made that your living, what did you see yourself doing?
Yeah, probably playing like on a cruise ship somewhere.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know, playing a Holiday Inn.
I mean, that's not such a bad life, is it?
Well, it's hard. I know a lot of musicians who play, that's all they do, but they're not famous, so they play music every day, but they're as good as any musician that's out there, if not better, because they're playing all the time in clubs.
Right.
You know, there's so many talented musicians, but it's like you got to work 6 days a week, or if you're lucky enough to get a good session, then you could maybe take a little bit of time off, but you're consistently having to work because you're not touring with Lenny Kravitz and you're not in the studio with Peter Gabriel. It's a lot of hard work.
Right, but if you're 23 and you're working on the cruise ship and you're playing drums or you're the piano man, is a good gig.
Oh, for sure. But when you're 32 and then 42, it starts to be like, well, I got to start thinking about raising a family. And
yeah,
if I want to have kids, then the time is now, and if you're, you know what I mean, that it depends what you want in life. If you just want to be a musician, that's fine. That's totally cool. But if you want, like, it's so hard to, and a lot of people are responsible enough to know that you can't just have a couple kids when you're, you know, not making that much money, because it'll be very difficult for everybody. So
when in your career, looking back now, can you say, I was actually at the top of my drumming ability then?
I don't really feel that way, because you're always learning more and more and more, you know, because I look at music differently now. I've learned more about music now than I did before. So I think in terms of like physical, maybe speed or technical ability, that might be happening more when you're touring 9 months a year, because you're just physically doing it consistently.
Shredding.
Yeah, but that doesn't really change your feel or when you're playing time. So I think it's kind of a lifetime thing that just continues, you know. I mean, I remember seeing Elvin Jones when he was 75 years old, and he was just killing it still. And, no, you know, his ideas were just as good as they were in the 60s. So
really?
Yeah. It's, like I said, music is a conversation, and like you're literally just conversing with people on stage. And when you stop playing, you're still that person. You still say the same things when you sit down.
I'm really excited for people to read the book from that standpoint, because your description of what it means to play music and what it means to play with other people and what it means to play at that kind of high caliber, I found really interesting.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in there on all sides.
Yeah, for sure.
For good times and for learning about the trade.
Yeah. Whereas I feel like I peaked too soon. I feel like looking back, I can remember when my synapses fired faster, and I can remember when I had more fire in my belly. Now I want to do things because I like them and because they bring me joy, not because I want to show the world.
Well, that's about the same thing as shredding. It's like, yeah, you might not be technically as gifted as you were, but that just had to do with the amount that you were doing at the time, and it was just fresh. Now you're more about understanding that it's more than that. It's more about what you say than how perfect you say it.
I think I'm also probably, not that I was ever spotlight hog. I always got that it was a team sport, but I care less about showing what I can do, and I'm more about giving others the spotlight and, you know, being genuinely excited watching other people kind of wank. Like at a live show for us, if a bud comes up and crushes a game, I love that.
Yeah, no,
that's
for sure.
Really fun.
That's the best.
And no part of me is like, oh man, yeah. I wish that was me.
Oh man, now we got to make your t-shirts.
Oh man, yeah, really. Now we have to make your catchphrase t-shirts.
You have to son of a shit around.
Streaming stream of feces is the Donovan t-shirt.
It is. So that's it. We've made it another to 118, bud.
118's in the can. Let's leave with some because of the overwhelming demand for tickets to our live show in Halifax. We've had to switch venues to the Seahorse, which is now a much bigger venue, and we can accommodate hopefully all of the buds. Because we had this epiphany where we imagined we would shoot in a relatively small space. The tap room at the lower deck is beautiful, and big old beams and stone and brick and all of the cozy, vibey elements that you would want. But we realized we were spending energy trying to whittle down the bod list to get in.
Yeah.
And we thought we should be so lucky that so many folks want to come to our taping. So we have switched to a bigger venue so that everyone can come.
Mm-hmm. It's a good problem to have, is what
it's a great problem to have. And we have a list of the games that we're going to play, and most of them have to do with buds. So you won't just come to see the show, you'll come to be the show.
Yeah.
It's
going to be a real special night. Everybody's going to have a good time.
It is. And I just know what an easy transition this will be from podcast to TV show, and we'll also continue to do the podcast always.
Yes.
It's not like we're sacrificing one for the other. That's for show.
It will happen even more regular than we're even promising right now.
Jonathan Torrens, CBC News, Truro. There's my sign-off. How are you going to sign off, bot?
Jeremy Taggart, from Toronto. You like that? The leaving them hanging?
Yeah. It's like, what's coming next?
What?
Jonathan Torrens, Truro.
That's the best. See you, bye. Ding dong, gang, go ding dong, jubo bounce, dun 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 dun